This is Dr. Sean McKay, and you're listening to Reinforce Radio. Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 19 of Reinforce Radio, a podcast dedicated to our special tactics operators, our combat mission support specialists, and their families. So today, my guest is Grant Darnell, the new strength and conditioning coach that we have here at the squadron. And he's going to be spending some time with you guys just sharing how you can maximize or optimize your personal workouts in between workout plans that he gives you. So I'm going to step back and give him the floor and let him do that. All right. So y'all hang tight and enjoy listening to Grant and some of the knowledge that he can give you. All right. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode.
Hello, everyone. My name is Grant Darnell. I'm a strength and conditioning coach that works with AFSOC. Today's topic is going to be on how you can maximize or optimize your own programming when programming for yourself in terms of exercise and exercise selection. I think first off, a major goal is to understand what exactly are you training for? You know, what is the goal of your training when it comes to exercise and performance? Are you training for size? Are you training for strength? Are you training for power? Are you training for endurance? Are you training for whatever your goal may be? You know, the term hypertrophy is commonly used. The term hypertrophy really means just building of the muscle. Understanding what your goal is ultimately going to help you develop the program that's going to meet your needs and take you to the destination that you want to achieve. A majority of our operators program for themselves and have different goals, but generally train pretty similarly in terms of endurance and the need for endurance in the program. Some train a little bit more strength heavy, some train a little more hypertrophy heavy. However, resiliency is pretty much the goal for everyone. In my current situation, we have a decent number of people that like to program for themselves or use their own home gyms and utilize themselves as an asset for their own programming. And again, the point of today is, you know, how can we add in a couple tips and tricks to help them achieve a more optimal program while programming for themselves. Yes, this is geared more toward AFSOC and operators. However, any person that trains can really take something out of today's talk. And so hopefully we have some listeners that are even outside of AFSOC that, you know, may benefit today from this short presentation or the short talk. First and foremost, knowing what your training and what your goal is, it's hard to achieve a goal if you don't have a plan. So one common chart that is used at all that I actually have hanging up in my office and one that is commonly out there is the resource that is known as the Prilipin chart. And so if you're training for strength, utilizing the Prilipin chart and the principles behind it will help you in that regard. And so if you ever look up Prilipin's chart, it's Prilipin apostrophe S chart. And what it does is it lets you understand what total rep range and what percentages you should be working at if you're going to utilize percentage training. And if you were to read the chart right now, 90% for 1 to 2 reps and sets, with 4 being optimal and 10 being your total range. So what does that mean? Really what it means on that line specifically is if you're going to hit 90%+ in a day, in a given workout, and if you're training for max strength, you generally can train with heavier loads about once every 7 to 10 days. So generally people train with those loads about once a week. And so if you're someone that's training above 70% twice a week, generally suboptimal. Yes, you can get away with it for a few weeks. However, for the sake of longevity and the sake of adaptation, science will show you and tell you that it's just not suboptimal. It's not sustainable. Not to mention the fact of how much stress it's going to put on the body and how much it's going to break things down, and you're going to end up utilizing athletic training and physical therapy more so than anything else. But again, going back to that chart, if anyone's pulled it up on their own, it gives you a total range. So it gives you things on the low end and on the high end for each weight percentage. Again, 90 plus an example, 80 to 90, 70 to 80, and then really 55 to 70. How many sets and reps, what's optimal, what's total. This is the same exact chart that I use in my 8 years working in collegiate athletics. Obviously, collegiate athletes were training for something different, and the goal is obviously different, and really that depends on each sport as well. But again, going back to Prolipman's chart, 80 to 90%, 2 to 4 reps per set, 15 being optimal, 10 to 20 being the total range. And so if I'm programming for myself and I want to work 80 to 90% that day, the most reps I'd really want to do would be 20. The fewest I would do and still achieve some type of adaptation would be 10. And then as it says, optimal is 15. Now I can tell you personally as a strength coach, working with the athletes that I worked with, I generally landed somewhere between optimal and on the high end. And so 80 to 90%, that would be somewhere between 15 to 20 reps. That may be, you know, eight sets of 2 at 80%. That's going to be 16 reps, my overall volume for that lift. So if I say, all right, we're going to have back squat, 8 sets of 2 today at 80%, that would then tell you, all right, we hit 16 total reps. My overall volume falls within the range that is, you know, scientifically proven to work. And that would be the overall overall load that would also create the result that I wanted to create. Again, this stuff only really works though for strength purposes. And so if you're someone that likes to train for hypertrophy, if you're trying to put on size and you say, all right, I'm going to train at 55% for 3 to 6 reps, at 24 is the optimal number, 18 to 30 reps total is the low and the high end. Saying, okay, I'm going to train 3 sets of 10 at 50% will make your strength adaptation. But going over that, when you start getting into those higher rep ranges, you're really training for hypertrophy as well. So you're training for muscular size. And so when we start talking about generally bodybuilding is associated with hypertrophy, although we all do train for some hypertrophy, obviously we all want some muscle on our frame. We want size on our frame. And that's when we're getting into some higher volumes and some submaximal load. Submaximal being obviously not your max load on that. A chart that easily works with the Prolipman's chart is known as a relative intensity chart. All you people that like to train with percentages still, and I'll talk in a few minutes about the pros and cons of using percentages and what other modalities we can use instead of percentages to hopefully optimize your training programs as you're writing those. And I'm not against percentages. I've used percentages many times. They're great in terms of giving people hard numbers, right? So having a true 100% one rep max and knowing what your one rep max is great to begin with. Because obviously, if you don't know what your 100 is, it's hard to know what your 80% is. So generally, people that like to use maxes, or sorry, like these percentages, will sometimes utilize what's known as a training max. Yes, if you, maybe your 100% on bench is 400 pounds. However, day in and day out, you can't walk in and just hit your 100. So they'll generally train off of 90% of their max. Okay, and that's been known as the training max. You know, 90%, that'd be 360 pounds. That's a more achievable number day in and day out that they could walk into the gym week in and week out and be able to achieve, as opposed to the best time, their best day that they ever had. And again, your 100% will change as well. So someone who's lifted as long as me, over 12 years, obviously your max is going to go up and your max is going to go up. And there's going to be times where you're not going to be as strong as you were a few months ago. So your 100% changes, your 100%, your all-time PR and your 100% are also two very different things. But if you go look at a relative intensity chart, one, it will actually calculate what your max is based off of reps. So if you're someone that says, I don't know what my 100 is, I know what I can do for four. Well, four is 90%. So if you could achieve 360 pounds on the bench for four reps, that's going to put you at a 400-pound bench press overall. That if you pull up a relative intensity chart, that's what the top line essentially tells you. If you say, well, I don't train that heavy at all, I can bench press 200 pounds for 10. Well, 10 reps is 75%. So you would add 25% to your, I believe I said 200 for 10. So it'd be, 225 would then be your max. So, obviously the more reps that you have, the more of a guessing game it is and the more of the translation it is, as opposed to, I know I can do a weight for two reps or three reps or even four reps after you get past four. Yes, there's a science, but it's a little bit of a guessing game as well, especially based off individual and what their, muscular endurance is compared to overall strength. Anything more than 10 is really a guessing game. We try to avoid those, but it does happen. But again, going back to relative intensity chart, in order to read one of these, your maximal load is in the white column on top, or the white row on top, with 195, 92, 90. So, and then there's a red, a green, and a yellow section based off of what's recommended. So anything very heavy to heavy is considered red. Very heavy to heavy, let's say you're doing four reps, that would be your max would be 90%, 88 all the way down to 83% would be very heavy and heavy. So very heavy would be 88, 85%, and then right around 83% would be what's known as heavy. As you get to medium heavy with four reps, you're sitting about 79% all the way down to 72%, which would be medium. Generally speaking, if you're writing your programs day in and day out, you want to live in the medium heavy to medium range. And that on the chart will show you that a majority of those are load weeks. And again, we're talking about four reps. Using Prilipin's chart, if I'm in that 70 to 80 range, where again, we want to be somewhere around 18 reps for 70 to 80. And if I'm doing sets of four, that puts me at about four sets of four or five sets of four, again, 16 to 20 there. That's how I would program that out. And again, that's right at 70 to 80%. That's how those two charts intertwine. For me, I've kind of lived in the heavy to medium heavy range, especially for younger lifters. So again, operators, we have people as young as 23 and we have operators as old as 37, I believe. And so, very different needs for those as well. And your ability to adapt at those ages is also very different. So, I come from a world in the collegiate realm of working with 18 to generally 22 year olds. Again, you'll have some oddities here and there. But living in the heavy world, so I would work kids all the way up to fours in, you know, that 81 to 83 range. You can do that and justify it and be fine in terms of looking at charts and understanding the science behind it. Again, this is all if you're training for strength. If you're training for hypertrophy, a lot of your percentages and your rep ranges are going to look very different. You would not even use Prilipin's chart at all in terms of actual lifting. One other asset that many people should utilize, and I recently wrote an article for our newsletter about this, is using an RPE scale, a rate of perceived exertion scale, and for lifting, and how can we implement that? Well, an RPE scale is a scale of 1 to 10. One being very light, very easy, and 10 being your literal 100% grinded out, couldn't do another rep, couldn't do another pound. The hardest thing you could possibly do. That could mean literally not another pound in terms of that was your max, or that could mean another rep in terms of I did 27 reps, I can't get a 28th. And so understanding that is also going to help you in terms of understanding where you're at day in and day out. And so I actually like using an RPE scale more so than using percentages. Percentages give us a great indicator of what we could possibly do on a very fresh day. Whereas RPE gives us a great indicator of this lets me know how I'm feeling on this day. So yes, I could program sets of 2 on the clean at 85%, and that gives you a hard number in terms of weight. But I could also program sets of 2 at 8 RPE, which would tell me, okay, I have some snap in the bar and things feel good. It is relatively hard. However, I could do more reps if needed. Again, a little bit of auto-regulation. So if maybe that is your true 80% that day, maybe it's 85, you're feeling good, or maybe you've been downrange for a week or two, and all of a sudden that 80 is not going to move at the speed in which it needs to. Okay, now I'm going to end up kicking it back, and we're going to end up using that 7.5, or we're going to end up using what would really be like our 75 or our 70%, knowing that it's an RPE of an 8. One other indicator or way that you could use RPE is utilizing it through essentially body weight movements or sub-maximal movements per se. So in our squadron, we have guys that can do 16 pull-ups. We have guys that can do 32 pull-ups. And so to program out, hey, you have 4 sets of 10 on pull-ups, the guy that can do 16 pull-ups, that's really hard for him. You know, that on the RPE scale, that'd be very high. And that would burn him out and give him a different training effect than the guy that can do 32 pull-ups. And so if you can do 32 pull-ups and I say, all right, you have a set of 10, that's a very good, workable, doable set. So that's a different way that you can utilize RPE. So if I program RPE for one of those movements, it's more based off overall volume than anything else. Again, knowing your goal and understanding how you get to it, as I've said many times, is again the goal of all this. And programming for yourself, knowing those goals, and even having a timeline for those goals is going to be very important. Having some communication with myself or a professional, just to look over things, just to troubleshoot, just to talk things out, is also valuable. So even in the amount of time that I've worked in strength and conditioning, which is over 8 years now, I'll still reach out to people and say, hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And continue to try to learn. One thing that I was able to implement some this week with a group of guys was using the force velocity curve. If you're unfamiliar with the force velocity curve, it's essentially an axis with force and velocity, mass and acceleration. Mass times acceleration equals force. So training with maximal strength, if I was using a bar velocity, that'd be somewhere around 0.35 meters per second or less, or it would be 90 to 100%. So generally I'll use percentages, but 90 to 100%, again, we can only train that way about once every 7 to 10 days. And even knowing if you're good enough to hit a 90 every 7 to 10 days, that would be very rare in and of itself as well. Knowing that you're using a maximal load, though, the velocity is going to be very low. As you move down the strength speed curve, using 80 to 90% is more what's known as speed strength. Again, with the intent of the bar being moved as fast as possible, this will help us. One, it will help us train for strength. We will get stronger lifting submaximal loads. However, it will also help you in terms of training for power. So there is, obviously the difference between strength and power. being able to train all the way through the force velocity curve is going to be very important for both those adaptations. Again, this is something that wouldn't necessarily help you out in terms of hypertrophy, but it would help you out in terms of strength and power. Peak power is generally 30 to 80%. So very broad there. However, the bar velocities are a little bit different than speed strength, which is 30 to 60%. Generally, my peak power, I don't go as low as 30%. And to be truly hit a 30% for most people is almost humbling. You obviously have to do some submaximal weight there, whereas maximum velocity is less than 30%. However, I feel like there's a very negative stigma in terms of max velocity being like an empty bar or no load at all. There still is some load in max velocity, just not an empty bar. In terms of writing your own programs and how do you fit things in certain days, again, going back to knowing your goals, going back to being able to lay everything out, things to consider, overall volume, and not just for the workout, but really for the week. So if you're someone that says, I like to bench press twice in a week, and let's say you're doing like a West Side Barbell method, conjugate method, where you have a max effort day and a sub-max day, knowing what your overall volume is throughout the week is also important. So knowing what they are for each session, but also how does that factor in throughout my week, or whatever my training cycle may be. If it's a 7-day, which is generally what most people do, obviously 7 days in a week, but could maybe you're training off a 10-day cycle. Obviously, anything that you do lifting-wise, you have to recover from. So something also to remember is when you're lifting, you're tearing fibers. You're breaking your body down. We recover by sleeping, eating, hydrating, and taking care of our bodies, which helps rebuild and repair tissue. So if we're not able to rebuild and repair, or we work out so hard that all we do is tear down, and even if we do get a good enough amount of sleep and eat enough food, it also just takes time to rebuild and repair. You've got to consider that when writing your own programming. A lot of common questions I get, for people that do their own programming, a lot of times comes down to personal preference. So, hey, do I do my long, slow distance day when I squat? Do I do it on this day? How do I make all these things factor in? And, you can do your long, slow, you can do your longer days, on a squat day, or you could do it the day after a squat day. I mean, that's a common question. It really comes down to personal preference. One thing that I always did working with collegiate athletes is any change of direction or agility work, we would not want to do after we fatigue lower body. So we don't want to go in and squat and then say, okay, now we're going to start cutting at 90 degree angles, doing change of direction work. There's not a whole lot of change of direction work and agility drills that get programmed in. For the operator community, obviously the 5-10-5 or the pro agility is part of the tier two, but outside of a few of those drills, week in, week out, we're generally not programming that in. I don't have to really worry about that limitation. So again, programming for yourself, knowing what your goal is going to be very important. How to achieve that goal, also very important. Talk to your professionals. Talk to your performance team. Talk to your strength coach. Feel free to reach out to me as well. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, obviously via email. I'm pretty easy to get a hold of. Facebook as well. Reach out. Ask the questions that you have. How do certain things fit in? How should I implement this chart? How should I implement that chart? As scientific as it all is, you also want to have fun with it as well. So obviously anyone can write up programs and make you stick to certain things or whatever, but you're going to train for what you want to train for, and you would also want to enjoy it along the process. So obviously factor that in as well, and be adaptable when writing your own program, shifting a day here or there, or again, knowing the RPE and saying like, okay, I really don't have it today physically, or I really do have it today physically, and being able to understand that on the fly and shift on the fly is going to be very important as well. Again, those are kind of conversations that I hope to have with our guys and our operators in terms of what they've done, what they're doing, how a day or two here or there can make changes amongst their week. And then again, them writing their own programs and how can I help them understand what science says, as well as what do they prefer doing and how do we plan on implementing that. So there's a lot of ways to get to a certain place in terms of programming, in terms of adaptation. Part of my job is to help everyone figure out how they get there. So anything I can do to help anyone, please let me know. I greatly appreciate you listening to this. It's been a fun podcast, and like I said, feel free to reach out in any way possible. Grant Darnell signing off.
So I'd like to thank Grant for coming on and joining us for this episode. You guys, you know, we're always just trying to find ways to help you stay more resilient, and Grant's stuff kind of helps you focus a little bit more on that physical resilience, which is his wheelhouse and not mine. So I appreciate you guys coming in and listening, and you know that our goal here is to always help you stay healthy in the fight, and I hope you guys got some information from Grant today that kind of helps you do just that. So until next time, this is Dr. Sean McKay, and you've been listening to Reinforce Radio.